the Girlfriends with Christy, Marie, and Julie.
Once again.
Once again.
Once again.
Once again.
And it's a Father's Day.
This has been, you know what's kind of interesting is that this has been a holiday weekend. We got Juneteenth.
Juneteenth.
And then we've got
Father's Day.
Father's Day.
Which is really interesting because your father said, what's Juneteenth?
Yeah.
And I said, it's June 19th. He goes, do I have a choice? Juneteenth or June 19th? I go, no, it's not a choice. It's both.
Yeah.
It's not one or the other. It's,
right.
It's,
the holiday is Juneteenth.
It's and it's so funny because I don't know when I don't know when it was, but everybody that we tried to get hold of on Friday was off because of the holiday. Juneteenth holiday.
Now, I feel embarrassed by this. Slightly embarrassed. I will say,
you own it, girl.
I will own it. I had some moments of swearing and cursing, mm-hmm. and because I literally Friday morning had to make several
you
business.
I'm going to make all these phone calls on Friday.
Yes, and
to all these federal and government institutions,
and not even that, just like to business
just normal,
normal,
just people. Normal
people.
Yeah,
and first one I got a hold of,
the whole world took off.
Yeah, and it was like, due to the holiday, we're closed, you know, and we will be back next business day.
And you call me and you go, Mama, what holiday?
What holiday?
I'm like,
and then you're like,
I'm like, Father's Day?
You're like, Father's Day? What holiday? People taking off on Friday.
It's a little early for 4th of July.
Yeah. And so I then, you know, gratefully I had the radio on. No, I listened to Adam Carolla. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Adam.
And they mentioned, Gina goes, our federal government just made it a federal holiday this Wednesday, that Juneteenth is a federal holiday. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Mm-hmm. You know, it happened on Wednesday.
Wednesday at 5 p.m.
And then
everybody,
every
the
employees were
off.
Like, hallelujah, praise the Lord.
Three-day weekend.
Happy Juneteenth for sure. Yeah. And then I ended up cursing a little bit more, going, couldn't somebody give a girl a heads up that everybody was going to take off this day?
Exactly.
Because all of us workers out here who are, you know, blue collar, we're all working.
Yeah.
You know?
But the federal guys, oh no.
And the white collar guys, mm-hmm. our banker, who, let's just face it, if he wasn't going to be going on vacation next week, mm-hmm. he would have taken off too. But because he has vacation time, he's like.
Were the banks closed too?
You know, I don't know. We didn't go to the banks, but I bet they were.
Will you tell me about the holiday?
Or they were closed on Saturday, most likely.
Yeah, probably.
Yes. So from what I know about the holiday.
Give us a little bit of a tutorial on Juneteenth.
Okay. I don't know. The 1965?
Way back machine.
No, not 1965. 1985. I could be wrong on the date.
Not so way back machine.
So it was in Galveston, Texas.
Galveston.
2 months after the previous slaves had been freed. It was
1987?
No, I meant 1980. 18.
That helps.
Yes.
That helps.
And so now I got to look it up because now I feel stupid. Because I believe it or not, last night I had
in the ports of Galveston, Texas.
Yes.
The ships came in with some Spanish galleons.
Okay, good.
And at the bottom of those ships were treasure? I don't know. Buried treasure?
Are you joking with me?
No.
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
Well, nothing to do with treasure. I have no idea.
Well, Galveston, it's all known for their...
Oh, are they?
Oh, yeah.
No, I just was reading about it.
That in their oil fields.
Oh, okay. Well, if I'm not mistaken, that's where the last slaves were being held. And I'm going to look it up right now to make sure. And then it was 2 or 3 months after, like, they were still being held slaves, and then they had their freedom, but nobody had told them yet. And finally, the Union Army came in and said, hey, guys, what are you guys doing here? And he goes, what do you mean? He goes, you're free. He goes, we're free.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we're free. And I'm like, okay, cool. So now I got to okay, good. We're gonna go and look it up better because, okay.
It reminds me of a movie, or no, a Twilight Zone.
100%, doesn't it?
Yeah.
you know.
That World War II guy? Mm-hmm. Nobody told him he was on an island.
Okay, exactly. A holiday celebrated on June 19th to commemorate the emancipation of enslaved people in the U.S. The holiday was the first celebrated in Texas, where on that date in 1865, I got it right, 1865.
Oh my God, Jill, you did.
The aftermath of the Civil War, enslaved people were declared free under the terms of the 1862 Emancipation Proclamation. So they were so in 1862 they were declared free, but nobody told them.
Wow!
And so finally, on this date, Galveston, Texas, had to free them.
Right,
and they were then officially free.
Okay,
and then they're like, okay, bye bye. You know, I don't know what they do then. You know.
I have no idea. Did they go
left
north?
With no support? I mean, yeah. You know, I mean, I wonder what the next day was like. The next day for the slaves.
Right.
You're like, okay, now what?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm in Galveston, Texas. Yeah. What do I do?
Kind of like Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah.
And Red.
Well, Red for sure. Yeah. Or what's the other guy? The older
Morgan
man
who Freeman. Is like,
I know. That's Red.
Oh, no. The other guy, the librarian.
The librarian.
Yeah.
When, you know, do you know his famous iconic line? You know, when did the world just get up and get so fast? You know, or something like that.
Yeah.
I guess not so iconic. But he went into the prison system and when there were no cars.
There wasn't even no flying machines.
No flying machines and no cars. No flying machines. It is weird thinking about that.
And he came out and there were them damn flying machines, Julie. Yeah.
Well, it is weird talking about things that
but the
100
thing is,
years ago.
He should have known, though, because he was head librarian. He could have read about it.
He should have read about it.
He should have read about it.
But reading about it and experiencing it are two different things.
Two different things, yeah.
You know?
Right.
That's the thing. But when, you know, he left, and the only job he could get was a bagger at a grocery store.
Yeah.
And then he was in a one-room apartment. He didn't have his little bird anymore as his friend. He had no friends.
His bird that couldn't fly.
Yeah.
Missed him.
Sometimes I think about that scene with the librarian.
Yeah.
I wish I knew his name. It's not Red, because Red is Morgan
Freeman. I know.
It's not Andy.
No. Andy Dufresne.
Yeah. But anyway, I think about like...
It wasn't to say Red. It's not say Red was here. We could ask Alexa.
Oh, goodness gracious. Yes.
Shall I ask Alexa?
Alexa, in Shawshank Redemption, who played the librarian?
She may tell you.
They may tell me. Web. Yeah.
According to CNN.com.
Yeah, CNN.com.
Ben, James Whitmore was already a legend when he joined the Shawshank Redemption.
Oh, interesting.
Yes.
Brooks. That's it.
Yes.
Alexa, stop.
Yes.
Alexa, stop.
James Whitmore played that so
yeah. His name
so
is Brooks.
So eloquently.
And so but I saw, during that time, I thought to myself, could we... You know, could we take in a convict that got released from prison?
Right.
You know, because I could handle someone like Brooks, right? Yeah, nice older guy.
Right.
You know, he was a librarian in prison. Right. You know, he's many days and years away from his raping and murdering scene, you know? You know, otherwise he comes to...
We talk about this all the time.
And
you
the
wanna
answer
take
is
in,
no.
No, you want to take in a convict. You want to take in one of those lottery winners from other countries.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And then
I'm totally not against it.
And you're not, okay, you're totally not against it, but you're not for it either necessarily.
Right.
Because when brass taxes come, or brass whatever, when to have the cojones to really do it, you've got your aunt saying, they could kill you in your sleep.
Right.
I mean,
but so
I
could
think,
you.
So could I. I am a sleepwalker. I have been known to be found outside the home. Now, it's been a long time since that's happened because I got bad knees. Because truly, now
you're a sleep crawler.
Well, because now I have to work my automatic bed
to lower
my, and I have to work my knees. I think by that time, my mind wakes up going, what the hell do I think I'm doing?
You're like electric going,
my bed moves me up when I start to snore. I mean, I think at this point in my life, there's too many things that are too many comforts that prevent me from walking out of the house.
Right.
In the middle of the night.
Yeah. I think, though, that is one... Mm. I think that is, you know, speaking of Father's Day.
Yes.
That is a parent's fear, though.
Yes.
Is that one of your kids will kill you in your sleep.
Oh, I thought it was one of your kids. You find one of your kids outside sleepwalking.
Oh, no.
But killing you in your sleep is more of a fear. The sleepwalking outside in the street, you're like, that's not such a fear. We got two of you. If right. one goes, we still got a backup right. plan. We're good.
When,
I get
you. When you guys were little, you used to get, we had those two little things above our on our above our threshold of our door. It said world's greatest mom and world's greatest dad. Uh-huh. Above our
which we didn't put up there. You guys did, yeah.
Uh-huh. Oops.
Thanks, just to remind Joel. Us. No. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Yeah, before you come in with a axe or whatever.
Yeah, just remember.
Just look up.
Look up. There's many worse parents.
That's right.
There's a lot worse out there. Well, I think it's great because if I'm not mistaken, you probably bought one for you and for dad.
Right.
So like on Mother's Day, you had already given it to dad. Hey, make sure the kids give me this for Mother's Day. World's greatest mom. We'll put it above our door.
Yeah.
And I got one for you too that I'll make sure the kids give it to you for Father's Day.
Right.
So that when we walk through our bedroom, it's christened. Well, it's interesting too because at night you guys used to put a I don't know why you didn't have locks on the doors. Our old house when we were growing up didn't have locks. Mm-hmm. But you used a shoe.
Mm-hmm.
You literally shoved the shoe in so tight in the jamb of the door that no one could open that door.
No.
And,
no ghost.
And, the weird thing, Gregory and I both tried many times. Not for any reason, but like, hey, we're scared. We're scared. We heard a noise.
Yeah.
You have to admit that our homes in the past were haunted.
At least that one was.
At least the one in Wooddale. Yeah. Fully, full-blown
And you had
haunting.
That little bitty, tiny wall closet. Or
yes.
It was like a closet door.
Yes.
Very small in your wall by your head of your bed.
Yes.
And it was kind of scary in there.
It was very scary in there. Yeah. I remember still to this day that there was one night I heard quote unquote demon noises under my bed.
Yeah.
And I remember being so afraid I couldn't speak or move.
Yeah.
And then I fell asleep and woke up the next morning. I'm like, well, phew. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep, you know. And
I saw under your bed. You should have been scared.
I know. Well, there were many times that you said, clean your room up. I'm like, well, this seems like an overwhelming task.
Yes, it was.
I go, I've got literally
space under my bed.
20 square feet of space 20 unutilized.
Cubic feet, right?
Yeah. Shove it underneath there.
That's right.
I've got a beautiful, beautiful chamois around a bed skirt.
Well, one time you guys were all gone. I was by myself. The air conditioning had gone out, and I got word that we were going to have company that night. And I was like, oh my God, it's 101 in the house.
Yeah.
I have to clean this house up. I chose to sweep everything, put everything under your bed.
That lovely.
I just took everything in baskets
and shoved it in my bed.
Put it under your bed.
Yes.
I will deal with it after company leaves.
And honestly, to be honest with you, if you look at these home improvement shows now, that really is a space of untapped storage.
Untapped potential.
And sometimes they say, raise your bed another 3 or 4 inches.
Yeah.
Gives you more space.
Yeah.
Bigger boxes can go underneath there. I mean, so at some point, you're living four feet off the ground.
Well, at some point, they do this in dorms now.
Exactly.
You sleep high and you put your desk underneath your bed.
Yes, exactly.
As if somehow all the knowledge just rises up and into you while you sleep.
I know. I just don't find it that smart for college students because I'm not saying I partaked in this behavior, but some college students feel it is a rite of passage to indulge a little heavily into the alcohol, shrooms, pot,
meth,
coke, crack, DMT, Molly, MCGT, Hiawatha, whatever your biology,
not
chemistry.
She was the Indian girl.
Yeah, what was it?
Ayahuasca.
Ayahuasca, yes, one of those.
Yeah.
So I'm just thinking, maybe you shouldn't start that far off the ground, you know, coming down from those things. Yeah. I'm just saying.
You had your friend over last night, you know.
Two friends, and then I had three friends.
Yeah, but I heard you and your one friend, you were talking about being on the pole.
Yes.
And you made some reference. What was that? I thought it was, I shouldn't have heard this joke between two old friends.
Yes.
Talking about being on the pole.
I don't know what the talking about was on the pole.
And you said something like,
what was I saying?
I don't know, but
I was. I mentioned the pole last night, but I can't remember what it was referenced
to. And you said something like, make it rain, baby. And you were going to be in the pool. And well, I was like, I should not be hearing this conversation between two old friends.
I don't know. Maybe we were discussing that there are different types of pools.
And
you fire said, department pools.
And you said to her, if you build it, they will come.
That's right. Hey, if you build a house with a pole, they're going to come.
They're going to come.
You know, but it's so weird because
make it rain, baby.
In that house where we had, if I'm not mistaken, in the house where we had the ghosts and the storage in the walls, which is very weird. Mm-hmm. If I'm not mistaken, we had a round pole in the, it was a.
Yes.
It was a beam.
Yes.
But it was just a pole. It wasn't decorative or square.
No.
Or,
it was not anymore. No. We would have done something with it.
But in those days, it was just we called it, I don't know, suburban metro. I don't know what we called it. It was like, that was a fashion that happened and so forth. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so that was very interesting. I don't have very fond memories of the house. It always felt big, the house, because it was a split level. Mm-hmm. So you walked into the middle of the house, and you could choose. Mm-hmm. Choose path A or choose path B. And that was kind of fun, you know? It's like, boom, right
choose,
there.
Choose path A, you froze to death.
Yeah.
Path B, it was a sauna.
Sauna, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. There was only one level that was normal, and that was, we call that the taint.
Taint the first floor, taint the second floor.
It wasn't split level, like it was a raised ranch.
It was a raised, same thing, right? No. Normano is shaking his head. No, not the same thing. It's a raised ranch.
Right.
But it is a split level because it goes up and goes down.
It's split. You're right.
But what's the difference between that and a raised ranch?
Well, I mean, I guess raised ranches are a Midwestern thing.
Oh, okay. Got it. The thing is, everybody complained that our kitchen found our house odd because the kitchen was in the basement.
Right.
And you liked it because you liked the idea that all the living was upstairs
without
the kitchen.
Right.
You're like, I don't have to worry about the kitchen. It's all downstairs.
Did I really say that?
You know what? You had a way of always falling in love with what you had.
Yeah. I made lemonade out of lemons.
But because your favorite song was Love the One You're With. Oh, no, no, no. Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young.
Yeah, baby.
No, 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 no.
What other trivia are you going to come up with?
If you can't be with the one you love, honey, love the one you're with. So every place we've ever lived, you've always said, guys, this is your only option. You might as well fall in love with it. So I made peace with the ghosts.
Yep.
I made peace with the demon under my bed.
That's right.
I made peace with the fact that I had. I just made peace with it all.
I think you used to have floating flowers in your room.
I did. Now I'm not sure if that was in that house. I did have that, but it also was in the other house. Mm-hmm. But I did have a period in my life where I'd wake up
and there'd be floating flowers,
and I would actually be swatting things floating in my sky, and then I'd wake up more. I'm going, well, that was bizarre. Mm-hmm. Like, hello. And I wasn't frightened. Mm-mm. But then when I got more conscious in this,
then you got scared.
Well, then I go, well, that was weird. And they're not there anymore.
Right.
Like in those moments,
you were traveling between dimensions.
I was between dimensions and found it fascinating. It was cool. And you just kind of, you live on. It's like when you first see your UFO, you get freaked out for about 5 or 6 seconds. Mm-hmm. And then you still have to decide, well, you know what? There's something on Netflix I could watch tonight.
That's right.
I could go.
So, Jules, should we talk about.
Talk about what?
What is the beer that made Milwaukee famous?
Yes. And it's not, spoiler alert, it's not Old Milwaukee, which I would have thought made sense. We were at a trivia contest last night,
right.
And we came in 5th out of 6th place.
Oh, you're such a genius.
Yes. Now, I'm going to say that I think we were geniuses because, first off,
your team four, was,
we came in, we walked in late, like 3 minutes late, and the Linda, who I like and I know, and she's like, oh, you came, yay. And I go, yep, and I got my 4 people, so we're good on our team. Because I initially texted her saying, I got people dropping like flies. And they don't want to come because they don't want to be stupid. And they're like, we got fillers. We got ringers, she said. But because we got there like right on time, or about 2 minutes late, those ringers went to other teams, the five other teams. So they each table had at least 6 or 7 people in it, where we only had 4. So I think at that point, they had 80% more knowledge.
With your handicap, you should have been in like second place.
Exactly.
Got it.
So one list, but I like the way they did it because each table got a sheet of paper with 5 questions on it and 5 minutes to answer. And one of them was about beer.
5 minutes goes fast.
It does. And it was about beer.
Right.
And one question was, what beer made Milwaukee, Wisconsin
famous?
Famous.
Right.
And my first thought was Old Milwaukee.
Right.
Why not? I mean, that would be logical, right? But it wasn't. And, but you, and we got it wrong. And then I came and asked you that question at home, and you guys got it right.
Right.
What was the answer?
We went Schlemazel, Haas and Pfeffer Incorporated. It's Schlitz.
And I knew they were in Milwaukee, but I didn't realize it was based on a real beer.
Yeah.
I thought they were just, you know.
Yeah.
Old Milwaukee.
No girlfriend.
And then another question that I got right, because I also thought it was Pabst. I go, maybe it's Pabst.
Yeah.
And then one question was, what beer won the best American beer in 18-something at the World, 1890-something?
The first World's Fair.
First World's Fair, maybe Chicago, I don't even know.
Right.
And the answer was
Pabst Blue Ribbon.
And I got that right because it made sense because it has a blue ribbon
in it. Well, here's why I knew it. I didn't know it before that. It was like way back when I was like 3 or 4 years old.
Yeah.
I used to hang out at my grandparents who would live like 5 houses down.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, miners could buy beer. Mm, and my grandpa would always send me to the corner.
And at this stage, literally, it was not uncommon for old men to whistle at young girls.
Right.
Like, woohoo, you're going to grow up to be a cutie, aren't you? You know, pinch him on the butt.
I was 3 or 4. I don't remember.
No,
that,
I mean, but like 45-year-olds to 17-year-olds or 50. That was not, it was still, it was okay to do that stuff back then.
Oh, yeah.
We're not okay.
Nobody
now.
Was awoke.
Yeah. Yeah, keep going. So you're 3 years old buying.
3 or 4.
You're 4 years old buying beer.
Yes, running grandpa down to the corner liquor store.
Grandpa gave you $1 to go buy a beer.
Not that much, even.
And gave you a quarter to buy you a six-pack of beer.
Just a can or a bottle.
Yeah.
You know?
And okay.
I'd always ask for Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Pabst Blue Ribbon.
And a carton of Campbell's.
Yes, because the smokes were for you. Because, you know. Why not? Why wouldn't it be? They were giving you they were giving kids candies that were looked like cigarettes
back
in the day.
That's true. We would. You know? We had the fake lips, the fake wax lips, and then we'd stick a fake cigarette in them.
Yeah. And like, look how cool I am.
We cool.
And I'm drinking
so cool.
My lemonade out of a Pabst Yellow Ribbon bottle. Woohoo. I'm just like, this is awesome.
Right.
I'm such an adult. Do you think nowadays there are, you know, back in the 80s and 70s, it was iconic or in the zeitgeist that you walk by a construction site and the guys would whistle at girls.
Right.
I mean, at some point, you don't see that anymore.
Thank God.
Thank God. Because first off, if it didn't happen to you, you felt bad because you're like, am I not cute enough?
Or even if you walked down the street, you had to have guys, cars honking at you. And
It was
I remember being on a bike even.
Yeah.
And a car honking and I got scared and I flew off the road and I actually hurt my leg really bad.
So, I mean, nobody does it anymore. I'm grateful. I'm grateful. I bet guys didn't want to do it back then, but
I hope they could be rested now.
Yeah, everybody could just chill out.
Yeah.
That feels good, doesn't it?
Well, I can remember like being tormented in 8th grade by the boys. And I mean, literally being sick every day, not wanting to go to school. Finally, my mom called the nuns and said, you got to do something. And they went, oh, that's just a sign they like her.
Oh.
They just like her. You know? That's how little boys are. I'm like, tormenting me, throwing, you know, mud balls at me.
Yeah.
Turning my desk over, tripping me. Yeah, that's love.
Exactly. That's love. Yeah. That's love.
Yeah.
We have all these horror stories, don't we?
To this day, though.
I'm almost thinking to myself, you know, there are some kids that really should be homeschooled because school is just not that great. It wasn't that great for me.
Honestly, you are thinking so right up my alley.
Right up your alley.
Because I was thinking.
But you excelled at school, in high school.
Well, we talked about, you know, being in time.
Yes.
Linear time. And we talk about being in eternal time.
Yes.
And of course, we love this idea of being in a eternal time because there's the field of dreams, the field of all possibilities. Yes. But think about this. That's because we're basically okay people.
Yeah.
But what if the creeps traveled in eternal time? You're like, yes. No, you know what? You know what? Yeah. I'll take some linear time just to get rid of some of those creeps.
I agree.
I understand God loves them too, but I'm saying they'd be better off in paradise with other creeps than here in linear time.
Well, that's how I feel about everything in life. Like everything in life, most people are decent human beings most of the time. Mm-hmm. We make bad mistakes, and we maybe do an a-hole thing, but we're not typically a-holes for the sake of being a-holes. Mm-hmm. But there are like 3% a-holes.
Right.
And those 3% a-holes, they really want to mess things up for 97% of us.
You want those guys to stay in the basement, give them an earned income of $1,000 a month.
Play your video games to your heart content. Yes. Yeah. You know, have the pizza come into your door. Right. That's, I'm totally cool with that. And I'm not going to feel bad about...
Masturbate to your raw.
I literally will... yes, exactly. It's like, and if someone didn't teach you about Jergens, that's on them. That's on them.
You know. Listen, I would take their Jergens and I'm going to put Vicks VapoRub in it.
That was, by the way, Vaseline. I know it's different than Vicks VapoRub.
Yeah.
But Vaseline is just Vicks. Vicks is just Vaseline with a little bit of menthol in it.
Right, right.
You know, so you could literally save $2 and make it yourself. Because you know that Vicks is really expensive.
Yeah. You mean you don't deserve Vicks VapoRub when you masturbate. I'm only going to give you the good stuff. How dare you have menthol?
Or if I was a real a-hole, I would take the Vicks out, or you'd switch the Vaseline for Vicks.
Yeah.
And they're like going, whoa, this is a cool sensation.
You go, honey, you got a head cold?
Yeah.
I got something for
you. Or what if you, like, you take the Vicks?
I got something for you.
Yeah. And you got real cruel. And instead of having, like, instead of Vicks, that's menthol.
Yeah.
And that has, like, a cooling, burning sensation. And then you go capsaicin. And then with the Vaseline.
Yes.
And you, or with the, you know, you're like, whoa, that's an interesting sensation.
Yes.
It's numbing but burning.
Yeah.
And then you're just like, what do? Put it in water.
Drink milk.
Drink milk. Maybe put your wee-wee in water and milk. That might make you feel better.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, my God.
What?
Penis milk.
Yeah. There's oat milk.
That's right.
There's almond milk. There's cashew milk.
Yeah.
Why not penis
milk?
Penis milk?
You only get it at 7-Eleven.
No, because you go, because then your mind goes, well, how did they make that penis milk?
Right.
Because listen, don't you ask yourself that question. Like, really, guys,
you know,
how are you making the almond milk?
You're supposed to see the ingredients on the label.
Yeah. And they just call it God organic. I'm like, yeah, it is organic. Basically, they just gave literally 1,000 teenage boys $20 a shot, you know? They shake it up, add a little bit of milk to it. Add some water to it, some food coloring, you know, and then boom, you've got male milk. See,
milk male.
Make milk male.
Milk male.
Does the body good.
Yeah.
Just don't put it, don't douche with it, because then you might just have babies or something. I don't know. That would be horrible.
Honey, what did you do with the milk male?
Yeah.
Male milk. I drank it. No.
No. That's so horrible.
Yeah.
I'm just watching some walkers walk by our house. They're all gray-haired and Sprite. And that pisses me off more to no end than how Sprite they are. They're all looking so cute and dapper.
Yeah, but are they talking about sperm milk?
No, they're not. I'm sure they're not. And you know what? If only you guys knew what was going on here, you'd be like, jealous. For sure.
Jill, can we talk about Babette's Feast?
Yes. So let's do the setup.
Okay.
Because we had talked about this previously, that in the midst of us buying a FedEx run and changing our whole lives around, you've decided that it was a smart time to do a real intensive Christian screenplay writing class. And it's not just one of those classes that you take online that are at your leisure.
Right.
This is 3 days a week.
It's intensive.
The instructors ask you questions. Yeah. And
they hold you accountable.
You're all adults. And they keep saying, listen, you will get out of this class as much as you put in.
Oops.
And there are tendencies where our instructors go, hey, do three screenplays, pick out the best one, I'll read it.
Right.
And so you're given this opportunity, this amazing opportunity,
right,
to meet insiders.
Right.
And then you, of course, said, hey, Julie, I need you to be my screenplay
I've asked partner. You kindly. Yes, would you like to be my writing partner?
You said, no, you've asked me kindly. I totally agree with you. Mm-hmm. But it was like this. Julie, you know that it's been my life's, you know, dream to take this course. That, you know, you have to be picked, hand-picked. It's a privilege. You know how I like to write screenplays. And but I can't see me achieving this one life's dream without you doing it with me. Okay. And so, and luckily it's on Zoom. Mm-hmm. Because if it wasn't on Zoom, you would have made me wear a red wig and do it myself as Christine and then come back and report back.
Somebody has to work the Zoom.
Yeah,
I just
have the camera facing you and I just lay next to you.
Yeah, sleeping, snoring.
No, I'm not sleeping or snoring. I am listening.
I have to nudge you.
No, you do not.
Wake up, Julie.
Yeah, no.
It's a good one.
Yeah,
a good
one.
Babette's feast.
Oh, no. So in it, though, they have us watch artistic films because they suggest you should be a film lover as well.
Mm-hmm.
But Mom really isn't a film lover. It's hysterical.
I just like to write screenplays.
Yes. Yes.
And also, I need to laugh.
Yes.
You got to make me laugh.
And Babette's feast
made Julie cry.
Made me cry.
And made me angry.
You were bored, shitless.
Yeah.
And also because...
Can I say that as a Christian screenwriter?
Well, yeah, because the whole point...
No, I'm a screenwriter who happens to believe in Christ, makes me a Christian.
Yes. What I love about this course is that they are really against Christians writing on-the-nose Christian stuff.
Right.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, like God's not dead. Like, really, guys? You can't write this.
What's the other one? Armageddon?
Yeah,
or whatever,
like
those.
Left Behind.
Left Behind.
Because
yeah.
if you guys leave this class please. And this is the stuff that you're writing,
yeah.
we will hunt you down and take away your Christian card.
We will shoot you, yeah.
No, they didn't say that. They just said, do better.
Yeah.
And
do not pander the lowest common denominator.
Do better. Do better. And it's all about story.
Yeah.
It's all about the spiritual side of humanity because it's all we all have the same struggles. And what I like about this course is that I do feel spiritually uplifted when it's done.
Yes.
Because you have all these people talking about their spiritual journey.
Right.
And they pray at the beginning, they pray at the end. And these are all just Hollywood insiders.
Mm-hmm.
They're all like casual. Mm-hmm. They're all wearing cool stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he goes, don't ever forget, Christ died for everyone.
That's right.
Everyone. And you're like, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Not just the other believer.
Right.
So you're not writing for the believer.
Right.
You're writing for everyone to enjoy.
That's right.
And you want them to be able to go away with a good message.
Right.
And he goes, listen, there's a reason why The Conjuring's been made 18 times. And
that's right.
You know, and there's a spiritual component to that. And then the first Conjuring had more of a spiritual component than the last one.
I know. When they brought up The Conjuring, I was like, really?
You hated that movie. But one of the screenplays that you're working on right now is about wrestlers who end up going to a town in Harmony. Can I say the log line? That end up breaking down in a town of Harmony, New Mexico. Population 666.
Julie, you gave it away.
I know.
You're like, spoiler alert.
Spoiler. You know, nothing good's going down in population 666, baby. You know, but so So that's just kind of, it's fun. I'm digging this course.
Right.
But it's intensive because they want you to do the work. And the first thing I say to mom's like, what was our homework?
Watch The Fugitive.
Yeah. And you're like, God, this is so boring. And the next one was watch Babette's
Feast.
Mm-hmm. And the problem is they didn't quiz us on it yet.
Right.
Like, and they didn't quiz us on The Fugitive either. So you don't get even a reward for watching the show.
There's no reward.
No. Mm-hmm. A reward or reward. Right. Not either one.
Right.
You know, I'm not giving you a Pabst Blue Ribbon and you're not a pat in the back. But anyway, in Babette's Feast, this really was a beautiful movie. And I guess either it was nominated or it won the best foreign film and the Academy Awards. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the other problem. It was all closed captioning.
Mm-hmm.
And so mom was doing other stuff, and she said, could you just please read it to me? So here I am reading Babette's Feast to mom. And I'm like, okay, you may be missing a few things. Because during this time, as you're doing other stuff, I'm like, mom, just please look up. Every scene looks like it was painted by
a Dutch artist. Yeah,
every single scene, the lighting was perfect. The way it hit the word for the roofs that are made out of grass?
Grass roofs.
Yes, grass roofs, or like hay roofs, thatch. You know, thatch, and like. Mm-hmm. And it's like everything looked perfect and beautiful. And it was done, it was about this little seaside sect, in some sense, religious sect. And this master, leader, I guess I call it, mm-hmm. you know, he had a small group of followers out there. Mm-hmm. Living on the seaside. They didn't have much money. They didn't eat very well.
Every day they had bread soup.
They had bread and ale soup.
Bread and ale soup.
So they take their bread, soak it in water, mm-hmm. pour a little bit of ale in it, mm-hmm. and then they cook it for 2 hours, mm-hmm. and then it turned into this mush.
And every single day.
There's your lunch. and they're like, please, maybe I should commit a crime and then go to jail and get 3 meals a day, you know. So in Les Mis, when they said he was arrested for stealing a loaf of bread,
yes,
yeah, you know, those guys would be like, yes, I need to get arrested for stealing a loaf of bread.
May I have some more bread, please, Mister? Yes.
And then you just go, God, we got it so well, we got it so easy, don't we? We just have it so easy.
Is that where you're going now with this?
I'm going but
how good we got it.
Yeah, how good we got it. But with Babette's Feast, I'm just shocked at how beautifully filmed this was.
Right.
It just looked so pretty. I mean, and there wasn't a lot of dialogue, and that's why I picked up on it too. And in a previous class, they said people who use narration mm-hmm. to move the story forward, mm-hmm. it's a little bit unnecessary.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't use it unless you really have to.
Don't use that as your...
Yeah.
You know.
As that's the way you move the story. But,
right.
And literally the first thing happens in Babette's Feast...
Narrator
comes in.
We don't know who that guy is.
No, she's just telling... Is it a guy or a girl?
I don't know.
It's just telling the story.
It's in foreign... Yeah. I don't even know what language it was.
It was
Germanish. We thought it was French because of Babette. But Babette was French, but the whole other thing was, I don't know, Swedish or something.
No, it was Germanish, like Gaelic. Or no, not Gaelic. What do you call the German languages? Those kind of rough type, you know, they sound rough, sound hard.
Yeah.
But they,
those languages. I'll get it there. I remember.
And so, and they made so many fun references.
Really?
I mean, like, you know, as you're listening to this through the eyes of, like, a spirit, you know, what's the spiritual journey of this movie?
Mm-hmm.
But there are times I'm just crying because the father.
Spoiler alert.
I'm telling you about this 1985 film that no one's going to spend. We had to spend $4 in this movie.
I know, guys.
$4.
Yeah.
I did watch this movie from
and
Amazon.
The Fugitive as well.
I know.
This course is stacking up.
Yeah. $4 at a time. And I'm tired of having to read you everything because you're like, I got to do something else. Hey, Julie, I'll play Pogo while you read me the story.
I like to play Scrabble while I watch this movie.
Wow. Okay. So what's interesting about this movie, Babette's mm-hmm. thing, and looking at this religious sect that's mm-hmm. kind of kept hidden away, and mm-hmm. and is that I also listen to this one podcast called Trust Me, and it's about these two girls who talk about religious or even non-religious cults, mm-hmm. and between a cult and a group, mm-hmm. and sometimes you can be in the same group, and some people will have a cultish experience with that mm-hmm. group, and other people won't. They're mm-hmm. like, "Wait a minute, you couldn't see your family, mm-hmm. you were treated like this." Mm-hmm. I was in the same thing, and you know, I had outside friends, I was traveling, I was doing all this stuff, mm-hmm. and so you realize that even in the same cultish experience. Mm-hmm. People are having yes. different experiences
right.
in it.
Right, right.
But there's one scene. So it's about these two, you know, the preacher has two daughters. Mm-hmm. Of course, the mom's dead. It might as well be a Disney movie,
yeah.
Because there's always one parent that's gone.
Usually it's the mom.
Yeah, because the mom would have been like, because
the baby daddy's gone.
Yeah, baby daddy's gone. So the preacher has two gorgeous daughters, mm-hmm. gorgeous-ish. I mean, it's 1895 and on a seaside. You know, I mean, come on. There's only two women there. All the guys are going to like, woohoo, women, yeah, you know. And I just remember one had none eyebrows and one did not have none eyebrows.
Oh, just like me and you.
Yeah, exactly.
Guess which one has the none eyebrows?
I really worked hard last night to change my none eyebrows to your eyebrows.
Oh, really?
Can you tell?
Yeah, they look gorgeous.
Good. Yeah. I even put a little pencil on them so I have
God.
So they're kind of thinning out at the end. Yeah. So my nuns have left the building. Yeah. So I just want to let you know.
Thank you, girlfriend. Mm-hmm.
And, but anyway, so there's one scene I thought I laughed at this scene.
Okay.
Because there's very little talking. But once in a while, you'll have a stranger come into this little small village, mm-hmm. and they'll be taken back by the beauty of these girls. Mm-hmm. And one girl has a beautiful voice. Mm-hmm. And so this French Parisian opera singer, mm-hmm. known all over the world, is feeling he's getting older in his life. He's mm-hmm. feeling like time is passing him by. He needs to go and heal. Mm-hmm. And he goes, and one woman goes,
People used to do that in the old days.
Yeah, they would go to the
sabbatical.
Sea. Yeah.
Go to the sea.
And he goes, I know someone who will take care of you in this little seaside, you know, town. Town's not the right word. Community, you know.
Town is definitely not the yeah. right word.
So he gets there by boat. And he goes to the local grocer saying, hey, I heard you'll take me in because I'm recuperating mm-hmm. from being loved and adored by all these fans. And I need a little space and all this stuff. And he ends up hearing the voice of singers in this small church. And he goes in and he finds this young woman who sings like an angel and offers to teach her. And talks to the father and gets permission from the father, and he goes, yes. Now, I am speaking more than they have spoken through the whole movie.
100%.
So the father says yes. They, you know, the girl goes into the room with him, and after a course of a week or two, they're practicing their opera. And at one point, they're singing this very romantic opera song about leaving and falling in love. And after that is gone, he goes back to his room, to his other chalet or whatever. And the sister, who has not said one word but has sang, you know, 3 or 4 minutes in this movie, tells the father, I don't want to go to school anymore for singing, or I'm done singing. Mm-hmm. Can you please tell him? And he was pleasantly happy about this decision because mm-hmm. they were fearful that she was going to get the bug of stardom mm-hmm. and leave them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she
said we started to cry.
Well, no, I laughed at this scene because the father wrote a note to Papin, who was the singer, mm-hmm. and asked the grocer to give it to Papin. And we see the scene. All we see is, you know, one little chalet next to another chalet, and the father comes and goes, give this to Papin. And he goes, okay. And the grocer, and in the other chalet, we hear the Papin singing opera. He's just so happy because he's found this girl that he can tutor and give him new life and new art, you know, and he's very, very excited about it. And father gives the grocer the note. We know grocer's walking into the room or into the house. We know that the grocer has given the note to Papin, and the father is walking back to his house. Papin stops singing. And then what does the father do?
Smiles.
He smiles.
He smirks.
He smirks and smiles, and I laugh. Because I'm like, cult. A-hole, you're a cult. You should have fostered your daughter, possibly, and she could have made her own decision.
Yeah.
I mean, like, even the Amish have Rumspustin or whatever you
call it. Rumpelstiltskin.
Rumpelstiltskin. Yes. Or Rasputin. I know it's together. Those
it's
two
Rum,
names.
Rum Springer.
Yeah, that's it. Rum
you
Springer.
You know what? That's my next tagline for my next screenplay.
Rum Springer.
Rum Springer.
Think of Rumpelstiltskin yeah. and Rasputin.
Yeah, no, just Rum Springer.
Yes.
And what's the bottom line?
They wish they could go back.
Yeah.
They have to fight their way back.
Fight
home.
Your way back.
Exactly. Fight your way back.
Rum Springer.
Yeah. In harmony. 666. The population 666. The Amish didn't know what hit them. No. Yeah. Well, I'm laughing now because I had that story in my head, that news story where they had arrested this Amish 20-something year old guy, and he was like this huge drug dealer, mm-hmm. and he was making his own cocaine and all this good stuff, and you know.
Oh my God, I didn't know this. Was he really Amish, or was he on his Rum Springer?
No, I think it was really Amish. Got he felt it. He could get cheaper, more trustworthy
products,
labor.
Oh,
you know.
Oh.
I'm just guessing. I don't know.
So, interesting.
But the whole so go back to Babette's Feast.
Sure.
Okay, real
sure,
quick.
Sure.
And people are like going, "Why is she talking about Babette's Feast?" Exactly. But it's great because the whole concept of this course is that you're not just supposed to let your art, like it's okay to judge art on art's sake.
Right.
You don't have to, if it's even like, you can be a Christian artist and not ever draw or write.
Jesus.
Or Jesus, yes.
Right.
And it was beautiful because in so many ways, we are believers. And if you picked out some of our podcasts, you would be shocked. You're like, what? You're not, and I'm like, we're not okay. Yeah,
we're not perfect.
No, not it's not even about being perfect.
Right. It's like about being perfect, girlfriend.
I remember this one guy though. I'll say who it is. My brother's father-in-law was talking to me one time, and he was mentioning he's a very proper older dude, and possibly from that kind of Babette's Feast kind of thing. I remember talking to him one time, and he was talking to me about this man in his work field, in his, you know, when he was working, like before he was retired. And he was like, he wanted me to go to his church. And he was really trying to get me to go to his church. And I knew, and he's a very Christian older dude. And he goes, and I said, I wouldn't go to your church at all. He goes, I see how you behave. You have beer and you do this. He goes, there's no way you go to the movies. He goes, there's no way I go to your church. And the guy left him alone with his tail between his legs, you know. And I thought, and I said, oh, I go, you know what? I go, I get you. I go, but I go, I feel sorry if you think that, you know, we're not being Christian enough for you or not enough of a believer or that you think that we don't look the part, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that was what was going on.
And I think that's like what these, the first few weeks of our course
yes.
is really about.
Yes.
Is laying that stuff down.
Right.
And letting our humanness and our art rise together.
It's truth, beauty, and
goodness.
Kindness,
like
something like that.
Superman.
Exactly.
You can fly faster than
exactly.
a speeding bullet.
And you talk about, we don't connect with Superman. We connect with Clark Kent.
That's right.
Always trying to be the better person.
That's right. We are Clark Kent.
Yes.
We are the Clark Kents of Christianity.
Exactly.
Or maybe I'm Jimmy Olsen.
But I went to the last scene about Babette's
okay.
Feast. Really quick. Because right. this is, I did cry several times in this movie. Do not rent this movie unless you really go in it with an open mind to be like, it's a Sunday afternoon. You want to see beautiful paintings and have to read this movie. So they find out the woman who Babette, who comes, who Pepin 20, 30 years later, probably 30 or 40 years
yeah,
later.
Yeah, easy.
Sends this woman, this French woman, to live with this community,
with the
saying,
sisters, yeah.
"Please take her in." You know,
her
I hope I
and
have...
her child has been shot.
And it's very weird because in this movie, the men that have met these daughters but were shunned and had to go live their lives and then come back as old men, or mm-hmm. they're affected. So, like Pepin, as an old man, sent this woman, Babette, to go live with the sisters mm-hmm. because French was in a bad civil war mm-hmm. and all that stuff. And her husband was killed and her son was shot. And she needed a place to run away to and to make whole again. Mm-hmm. And she spent years there with the sisters.
Yes.
And everybody loved her.
Yes.
And it was
years and years.
I started to cry one time because there's just a scene where the sisters are collecting their money for what, I don't know how they make their money. Mm-hmm. They're always knitting.
We think that's knitting.
Yeah. We think they sell their knitting to the other parishioners. I don't know.
I think they sell the knitting across the ocean.
Oh, sure. To the other side, to the more bigger town or whatever.
Yeah.
And there's just one scene. They're counting their money and putting it in a little box. She goes, ever since Babette's been here, we've had more money than we ever thought possible. Mm-hmm. Because in the beginning they said, Babette, we can't take you in because we have no way to pay you to be our, to be our maid or to our cook.
Right.
And she's like, oh, no, I wouldn't charge anything. Yeah. Just let me live with you. And they're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, sure.
Sure, why not?
And so they cleaned out the attic.
Yep. So the next scene is Babette, the two sisters are saying, my gosh, our cup is runneth over. And the next scene, the narrator is saying that Babette was a preacher's daughter for over 15 years,
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, because you were doing other stuff. I read it to you. You just weren't hearing me. But I think over tears, because it was sort of like, good things come to those who do good things, right? That's kind of the underlying.
You're blessed to be a blessing.
You're blessed to be a blessing.
Right.
That's what I get. That's what I got.
Yeah.
And so at the time in France, they had a annual lottery, which I've heard about this in other countries.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, I get emails all the time saying I won that lottery.
Yeah.
I only have to come up with about 10,000 of my own.
Yes.
Because otherwise, what's the point?
Exactly. They have a real legitimate account to deposit it in.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they don't know who they're depositing their
winnings.
And, of
course, they ask for my Social Security number.
Well, why wouldn't they?
And my 401k number. Yeah.
Totally legit, Mom.
Legit.
Totally legit. Yeah. Totally.
Can I tell you the name of the guy that wrote me that email?
Well, tell me who he was so I need to look that up for him.
Matt LeBlanc's.
Oh.
Not LeBlanc.
No.
But had an S on the end of it. It said sincerely,
Matt LeBlanc.
Mr. Matt LeBlanc. I go, aww.
Thank you.
He wouldn't try to.
Like, delete?
He wouldn't try to hustle me, would he?
No, not at all.
Mr. Matt LeBlanc?
No, I think he was a legitimate one.
Yeah.
You know,
he sounds French enough.
Oh, for
LeBlancs?
Yeah,
Pepe Le Pew?
I mean, I got one just the other day from Jennifer Baston. Baston. Instead of Jennifer Aniston?
Oh.
Jennifer Baston. She said Matt
You're
LeBlancs.
Just trying to be a copycat.
I was trying to move the.
Mine is real, though.
Oh, I know.
I got a real email.
From Matt. I know
from
you
Matt
did.
Matt LeBlancs.
And I was just trying to contribute,
okay,
make
sorry.
The joke
all right.
funny too.
Yeah, but mine wasn't a joke.
I know yours was
it
real.
Was real,
and that's what makes it so funny.
Got it.
Because out of all the names they could have picked,
yeah,
he just got done watching Friends, and he's like, "No one." I go, "This show ended in the States years ago. No one's gonna remember Matt LeBlanc, so I'll do Matt LeBlancs.
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 He had an S to it.
There you go. Why not? That works for me. So, girlfriend, how'd your week go?
But you wanted to say she won the lottery.
Oh, okay. We only got 2 minutes left of the show, everybody. So I'm gonna
finish
this up.
Well, hurry, Julie.
Okay. Who would have thought I could do a whole thing about it? Babette's feast. Okay, so she wins the lottery in France.
Yeah.
So they know that she's going to
10,000 euros.
10,000, not euros, but 10,000
francs. Whatever. Francs.
Okay, francs. Anyway, and at the same time, it's the 100th birthday of their departed, passed away
dad.
Mm-hmm. The master of this cult.
Mm-hmm.
And they were going to have a very simple dinner to celebrate.
Some ale and bread soup.
Yep.
Followed by
herring.
And coffee. They were going to make coffee instead of tea.
That's right. Ooh. But instead, she's like, please, let me do a French dinner.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, we couldn't afford that. And she's like, no, no, my treat.
My winnings.
And I just need a couple, I need a week off
right.
to go get my supplies and so forth. Right. And so she ends up the last 20 minutes of this movie.
Yeah.
And it's freaky because they get freaked out because they're basically vegans. They eat fish, but they don't
never,
eat a lot.
They never, that's right.
And so what comes over on the ship is lots of wine, lots of ship, and a live tortoise, a live turtle.
Turtle, pheasants.
Head of a cow.
Cows.
Live pheasants.
Pigs.
Pigs, I mean.
Fish roe.
Tons and tons caviar, of real
champagne.
Exotic meats.
Yes.
And
they get kind of nauseous.
Yeah, and the sisters have nightmares.
Yeah.
And they both decide that it would be rude not to partake in the feast of Babette because they love Babette. Everybody loves Babette.
The whole village loves Babette.
But it would be wrong to speak good about it.
Yeah.
Because only
God... They'll just hold their tongue.
Hold their tongue.
And just pretend that they don't have taste buds, they said.
Yes. We will pretend, we will eat the food, but we will pretend there will be no taste buds.
Yeah.
And at this time, what also happens is that the other sister had a little bit of a boyfriend in the beginning. He was a French general, a French soldier that came and visited and then came back as a general.
Mm-hmm.
And he ate as well. And he didn't know the rules about not speaking about the food.
Mm-hmm.
He just thought this was a standard meal, but everybody was just very quiet about it. And he was like, this is the most amazing meal I've ever had. Holy cow. This is real turtle soup. Holy cow.
This is the best. I've heard that there's only been one other person that can make a meal like this.
And then, she was a woman. Can you imagine?
And it was a woman and she was a chef of Longlès. This most famous restaurant in all of France. But, oh, some tragedy befell her.
Yes.
But who would know where this French chef went to?
Who would know? Just by chance.
She's been busy making bread and ale soup.
Yes.
For 24 years.
Yeah. It's Babette. And like the world was
spoiler
right.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. And it's like, but it was, so the whole idea was, and the whole concept, I had to tell Mom what the purpose of this movie was. And
tell me, Jules.
It was to that you're allowed to display your art and your beauty on planet Earth, not just hold it for heaven.
Right.
Which is what this religious sect kind of felt.
Right.
Like, no.
They're just, they would say like this, your voice will be so happy in heaven when you sing with the angels.
Yes.
And they were like, oh no, sing here on planet Earth.
Yeah, sing here on planet Earth. And
sing with the angels.
Yeah. You can do it both.
That's right.
Not just one or the other.
That's right.
And I thought, damn motherfucking straight.
Babette,
you go, Babette. So that was our show. That was our week.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. In the midst of trying to buy a new business and feeling stressed and feeling like we're shaking in our boots.
Yeah.
This happened. We're taking this course and it's been a lovely distraction.
Yeah. Ain't that the Schlitz?
Ain't that the Schlitz? How's the show, girlfriend?
It was great.
It was great. Happy Father's Day, everyone.
Happy Father's Day, Normano.
Bye-bye. Love you. It was great.